Today we'd like to read from the book of St. John, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse. Jesus asks the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, another wonderful thought here, the Lord Jesus asking the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, a lot of people are not really whole. They feel that they're all together in life, you know, but they're not really whole as far as being at themselves through life. Jesus asks the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, when you think of a person that is lame, halt, or blind, or maybe some deficiency of life, you know, physically speaking, we can understand what is meant by, "Wilt thou be made whole?" But you know, a lot of times we have spiritual problems and we have things in our life that takes away from the wholesome living of mankind. And we ask the question today, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you fall into the category of being one of those that's not really getting the fullness out of life? You know, we can have the fullness out of life, but one thing we need to understand, friend, and that is, we cannot have the fullness of life without Christ Jesus. How then can we have the fullness of life if Christ Jesus is the Prince of life? To have the fullness of life, we must have Christ Jesus because He is the Prince of life. You know, the most beautiful thing that ever happens to a person is when they come to know Jesus. You're never really whole in life until you know Jesus. Now, you might have done a lot of exciting things through your lifetime and you might have felt, you know, that you have really enjoyed life, but truthfully, you've never really enjoyed life until you come to know Jesus. I thought many times in my life I was really enjoying life. I thought that I had really found something, you know, during my lifetime, searching here and there and going to and fro as everyone else. But one day when I met Christ, I met Him face to face, and there we came to know each other. What a beautiful moment that was. At that very moment, I never realized just what the future held for me and the Savior. Today, I have come to know so many wonderful things in Christ Jesus. You know, I've had great experiences in God. Experiences that you cannot find anywhere throughout the world in all of its fields of entertainment and relaxation. I have had experiences that you cannot find in colleges or in the great places of learning. I have had experiences with God that cannot be purchased with money. There is no way to have these great experiences and to understand the things that I have come to understand by any of the worldly means. But I've come to know many things about Jesus. I one time did not understand what Paul meant when he spoke of the great mysteries of God. There, when he spoke about the great mysterious things of God, and he said, "I am a steward of the mysteries. Great is the mystery of godliness, and I am a steward of the mysteries of God." I never did understand, you know, to begin with, what Paul meant. But as I went on to know God, and as the years passed by, and as I entered into the great, wonderful depths of Christ, and into the wonderful treasures of the great knowledge and understanding of God, I learned things that's not written in textbooks. I've learned things that in talking to professors in colleges, they have been astounded as we converse together, wondering where it came from and how it came about. And they said it is so glorious and unbelievable, it would have to be from God. There's no other place to get anything like this. But you know, it is so wonderful to come to those treasures. Paul speaks of heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. And when we come to know those things are not just something that we learn that becomes a burden to us, as is the case with all the learning of mankind. You know, the more you learn in this life, the heavier you get. Solomon said, "Why make thyself overwise and destroy thyself?" And a lot of times we spend much time in learning, many years in learning, but it only becomes a heaviness to us. The more that we learn, the more that we have to bear up under, and it becomes a great yoke to us. But in Christ, it is not so. For in the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that we learn and the things that we understand It comes into our heart, and our heart is enlarged. And instead of a great load, and instead of a great burden to us, instead of a great oppression to us, beloved friend, it becomes a treasure. It becomes an inspiration. It becomes a life. It becomes something that is alive within us and that is driving us to greater things, greater means and measures of life, and greater heights and depths in living. What a wonderful thing to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we ask the question again today, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? You can be made whole. You don't have to go through life, you know, partially. You don't have to be spiritually blind or spiritually deaf. You don't have to be that way through life. Friend, you can be whole in Christ Jesus. You can have the real love of God in your heart. You can come to be able to see, really see what's going on, and come to the place to where you can really hear what is going on. You know, having eyes to see, you can see. Having ears to hear, you can hear. And having a heart to be converted, you can be converted to God and know what is going on. So then, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? You can be made whole. If you will be made whole, then Jesus said, I will make thee whole. You can be made whole. You know, he said to Peter one time, he said, Peter, if you'll follow me, I'll make you. You know, he said, I'll make you a fisher of men. But Jesus, I'll have to stop right there and use the terms, if you follow me, Peter, I will make you. Jesus said, if we follow him, he will make us. You know, he can make us into whatever he wants us to be. He can make us into whatever we desire to be if we follow after him. He can make us whole. That's what we need to do, is follow him that we may become whole in Christ Jesus. I say again that we place too much emphasis on the natural side of life. In so doing, we lose the great inspiration of God. See, we get so entangled in the things of this world that we do not have any time to devote to God. We get so carried away with the things of this world. They're so attractive to us. The reason is because we have never seen the greater things of God. You know, if you could see the greater things of God, and if you could get a glimpse of the things of God that are so much greater, why, you would never want the beggarly elements of this world again. That's why Paul the Revelator, having caught a vision of God and seeing the wonderful things up in heaven, having seen the spiritual things and the eternal things, he said on one occasion, he said, why turn you again to the beggarly elements of this world? Do you desire again to be in bondage? Do you desire again to become entangled with things that are perishable? If you sow to the flesh, won't you reap corruption? Isn't it a true fact that everything in the world is corruptible? Is it true that whatever is in the world will deteriorate? So then, if I sow my energy, my time, my understanding, my efforts, all of my endeavors of life, if I sow to the flesh, I may reap many things in life, but all of those things will deteriorate. All of those things are corruptible. But if I sow to the Spirit, I shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. If I sow to the Spirit, then I have a chance to reap something that's far beyond mankind, far beyond the wildest imagination. You know, man, he loves to covet in himself in that he is great and mighty, you know, and that he has achieved great things, whereas he really has in some measure. But when you really stop to think about it, the Bible tells us that he hasn't done very much. You know, the Bible tells us that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Isn't that right? The things that God hath for them that love him, never at any time has these great revelation or understanding or treasures, never at any time have they ever entered into the heart of mankind. Never before. See, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. That means with all the facilities of learning that we can obtain unto it, there's no way to get it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But the Bible tells us that God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, made them revelations unto babes such as will learn. And so then it is a true fact that we do have the wonderful treasures of God in earthen vessels. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So then we know that God is the great revelator. Paul speaks of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then when you read in the book of John, John speaks of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The very first part of the book of Revelation, John speaks of it like this: the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which shortly must come to pass. And the Bible said that he sent and signified those things by his angel. So then we see the great revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at the things in the book of Revelation. Have you ever read any in the book of Revelation? Have you ever just sat down and read just a little bit of the great and mighty things that John experienced in the book of Revelation? You know, the Bible tells us that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, a great question enters into our mind. What is meant by being in the Spirit on the Lord's day? A few nights ago, we ministered a sermon. You know, we don't have a chance to do this on TV. Time is so limited. We don't have a chance to really minister to you the deep mysteries of God. But when we're out in evangelism or in the churches, auditoriums, wherever, we have a chance to really minister the deep things of God. And we were speaking of the great mysteries of God and what is meant by being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What does John mean being in the Spirit on the Lord's day? What is the Lord cut off in the wilderness? And God swear in his wrath that because of their murmuring and their complaining that they should never enter into his rest. What is meant when the Bible speaks of having died under the law, not receiving the promises of God that the Bible tells that are for us? What does he mean by those things? You know, God has great treasures and great secrets. Great things God has for us. Great, wonderful things is waiting for them that love Jesus. Wonderful things are ahead. Wonderful, exciting things. You know, I used to be a fellow that loved adventure. I always loved adventure. I wanted to go places and do things that was adventurous. I never knew that there was any adventure in God. I never thought of God as being adventurous. I never thought of anything in God as having adventure. I never considered the thing to even be adventurous. But I found out to venture out into God is the greatest adventure that I have ever found in my entire life. It's the most exciting thing that I have ever seen, ever heard of. There's nothing to be compared to it. You know, people speak of taking dope and taking trips. But I'll tell you what, once you come to know God and you take a trip with God and you get in the Spirit and God begins to move you around like he did Ezekiel when he picked him up over here and set him down in the valley of dry bones and you begin to really know how to get acquainted with the Spirit, I'll tell you, you'll find out there's some real life in God, some real excitement in God, and some real adventure in God. You know, God wants to help you. God wants to give you a wholesome, exciting life. God wants to use you. God's got a place for you, and God is trying to bring you into a place to where he can use you. But see, the thing is, wilt thou be made whole? God cannot use you unless you are made whole. You know, in the Old Testament teachings, we find the scripture that tells us that a dwarf could not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now then, if we are dwarfed in our experience with God, then we cannot enter into the great kingdom of God. God will not receive a dwarf. We cannot be partial toward God. We cannot go around the things of the world and play around with the things of the world and, you know, just get by, as we say, you know, just as little as we can in doing for God. We cannot cut corners. We cannot manipulate here and there the things of the Spirit and then expect to please God. We've got to be completely whole in God. We've got to come into the full measure of the full stature of the man Christ Jesus if we're to ever please God. So then a dwarf cannot enter into the congregation of God. If we become dwarfed in our experience, then God will not have us. So then we cannot be halt. We cannot be blind. We cannot be maimed. For the Bible speaks again in the Old Testament concerning these things. Thou shalt not bring anything that's maimed or halt or lame or blind to offer to God as a sacrifice. For the Bible teaches that this is abomination in the sight of God. He said, don't bring me the halt, the lame, and the blind. I'm a great God, he said. So don't offer this to me. Offer it to your governors, he said. Offer it to your leaders. Offer it to the great men of your day and see if they will receive these things of you. He said, bring to me that which is whole. See, I am to give my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. That's the way God tells me to do it. I cannot offer it partially unto God. I must offer it wholly unto God without reservation of heart. I must come boldly before the throne of grace that I might receive help in the time of need. And the only way that I can do that is to have a clear conscience. If I am to ask God for anything, I must have faith. For the Bible tells us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a ship that's tossed about by the waves of the sea. And the Bible says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if a man is unstable in all of his ways because he is double-minded, then we cannot be double-minded. And the thing that makes us double-minded is being under condemnation. When we're under condemnation, then we are double-minded. But beloved friend, if we can eliminate the condemnation, and we can eliminate the condemnation, if we can eliminate the condemnation, then we are free from the double-mindedness. See, the Bible said, if thine eye be single, then your whole body is filled with light. Now, if thine eye be single, when he speaks of the eye being single, Jesus spoke in mysteries. He was speaking of the eye of the understanding. Paul said that the understanding, your eye of understanding being enlightened, you know, that you might comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of it. See, of the things of God. So then, to be single-minded, or to have an eye of understanding, if your eye be single, your whole body is filled with light. But if we are double-minded, then we have darkness. Even the intellectual darkness of this world that prevailed even from the fall in the garden, from the very first time that Eve made the mistake of partaking from the tree of knowledge, from the very moment that she disobeyed God and went contrary to God and lent to her own understanding, from that very moment, then there has been problems in the world. You know, the Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding. So then, we are not to lean to our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. See, to trust in God with all of our heart, not to lean to our own understanding, because when we lean to our own understanding, that is when we become double-minded. See, if I think one moment concerning my own way of life, and I'm doing my own thing, as we say, one moment, and then the next minute I am trying to concentrate upon God's way of life, then I become double-minded. I'm no longer single-minded or have a single vision. I become double-minded. So then, I am not made whole. I must be made whole by the Spirit of God if I'm to enjoy the fullness of life. And that's what I like to do, is enjoy the fullness of life in God, not with the things of the world. I don't find anything in the world that really excites me. God has blessed me in the world. We've been blessed. We've been all over the different parts of the world. Been down to South America, Central America, Europe, all over the different parts of the world. And we've done lots of things. We've seen lots of places. We've been blessed financially with many hundreds of thousands of dollars. We've had all of that. But none of that excites me. But when I think about Jesus, I get excited. Every time I go to minister, I get excited. Sometimes people, you know, in my services, they wonder why that I get so excited. Now, perhaps you don't see that on TV. You know, we have to kind of hold ourselves down just a little bit on TV, but we get excited when we're out there ministering because God's Spirit is so real and so mighty that we just can't hardly stand still when we're talking about the glories of God. We have had at times, you know, TV made under the tent where we'd be ministering, and of course, the TV men move with us, and we get pretty excited and move around quite a bit. But ordinarily, we just kind of try to reach out a little bit to encourage you in faith and try to make you to understand the strength and the wonderful depths of God's blessings and power when we're ministering to you by TV. So then, it is so wonderful to be able to be a Christian, to know that Christ is with you, and to know that God loves you is the greatest consolation that man can ever have. That's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, friend, is to have the treasures of God. If a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, what profit hath he, or what can he offer God in exchange for his soul in that day? All right, we'd like to, at this time, offer prayer. We'd like to pray for you. You know, wherever you're at, you may be in the hospitals, you may be in the convalescent homes, you may be in your own home, wherever you're at, we would like to pray for you. You know, we have numbers of people that watch the programs in the hospitals. they send us word, and we receive word, you know, that they're watching us, and that our prayers really help them, and people receive healing and divine deliverance, and they're so happy, they're so excited when they write us. So let's pray together now and ask God to do something for you. As we pray, then believe. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. If you do not believe, it doesn't do you any good to pray. So then, we're going to pray with you. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to hear my prayer. Father, to heal in the name of Jesus. Father, wherever the people are viewing this program, wherever they're listening, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And as they hear, Father, may faith arise in their heart. And oh, Holy Father, may they be healed, Father, and may they be forgiven of their sins and enjoy the fullness of Christ in their life. May they be made whole. I ask it in Jesus' name. Now then, we ask you to write us a letter. Let us hear from you, because we want to know whether or not you're enjoying the programs and whether or not God has done something for you. Until then, we say bye.